Hey, y'all. Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. Let's do something fun tonight. Let's talk about money. Growing it, making better decisions, keeping it. And one of the topics I've got top of mind tonight is what happens with Social Security payments when somebody dies. We'll cover that tonight. Hey, James, how's it going?
Hey, Gregory, how you doing? I'm doing good over here. The United States budget deficit hit a record for the month of January, $144 billion. $144 billion. Now, that's the December deficit. I'm sorry, I said that wrong, December. But just to give you an idea of how out of whack that deficit is, one of the worst years, the second worst year we had for deficit spending was 2019. Obviously, the worst was 2020. I think there was one year worse than that, and that was 2009 because they had the stimulus package after the Great Recession or financial collapse or whatever it was. So that was the second worst year in 2019, second worst year for deficit spending. The December deficit for 2019 was $13 billion. So I'm going to repeat it now. The December deficit for December that we just got out of 2 weeks ago, $144 billion. So 2020 was 10 times, the deficit was 10 times the size of the deficit of 2019. And 2019 was the second worst fiscal year in this country's history. This is a big problem. We can stick our hands in the sand and we can argue about what you see on TV, people breaking windows or impeachments or whatever. But we are going to be stuck with a big uppercut to the jaw if we don't get this under control. And, you know, we had a guy ask, I think it was on either Monday or Saturday show, what's the breaking point? When is all this going to end? Or what's the day you look forward to when something's going to have to change? And I think it's going to be when that Social Security Trust Fund runs out in earnest. And that estimate has been moved up from 2036 to 2032 to 2030. And now I'm seeing some calculations after the horrible year we had in 2020. It may happen as soon as 2024. And hey, if we don't want to do anything about it before, then fine. Don't listen to me. But you're not going to like your options when we get to 2024 and we've taken a bunch of the phase out off the table. It's either going to be all or nothing at that point. And I have a feeling that no one's going to go back to the show and listen and be like, oh, James was so right. But I want you, Gregory, to know I'm right. And I want the listener to know I'm right. This is going to be the biggest problem we have within the next 10 years. Not now, not next month, not even next year. But this is something we need to be paying attention to. And I wish we were. And it's fiscal, so I can talk about it on the show. It's not political. Both parties are equally guilty. I really can't fault either one of them for being more of a spendthrift because both of them have shown the same tendency when they get into power. Because now for the last 20 years, it's like, hey, let's just run a deficit every year and not even try and balance the budget. You know what? Let's run $100 billion deficits. No, you know what? Now let's run $1 trillion deficits. And no one around me is batting an eye. They're like, I don't care how big's my check. So I just think this is very childish. I think we've seen other countries do this in our time and throughout history, and it doesn't work out good. That's it. I just had to get that off my chest. Is that good? You have any comments on that news story of the day?
That record amount? Yeah, that's a big deal. But, you know, I've talked about on the show where I expected us to reach the level that we're at in debt, and that happened faster, which means we're going to get to the $50 trillion mark faster than I talked about a couple years ago, and we'll be faster to $100 trillion. But we, you know, it's obviously became okay to spend money, and Biden kind of signaled that trillions of stimulus will be available. You know, it's just like, okay, at some point we didn't have money, and now it's fine to print absolutely as much as we need.
I like when you bring up the wall, when they were like, we need $5 billion for the wall. They're like, jeepers, we don't have that kind of money just laying around. What are you talking about? We're not made of money.
Yeah, the most recent bill, some $900 billion. And the wall piddling amount in comparison. But they also talk about taxes going up, and we're going to get to some point where they tighten up again, but to the government to never have deficit spending, I can't imagine that. I just think that's what's going to be done from now on. And even if they raise taxes, would that mean they raise it enough? Let's say we don't have deficit spending. Would they not ever do deficit spending again, James?
Oh, they definitely would.
They definitely would.
In this, no one's stopping them. No one gets voted out of office for deficit spending or supporting deficit spending. Deficit spending is the law of the land, and it's not going to change because there's not enough me's out there.
So with that said, why, if we could do it, why is Social Security going to be a problem? You put up alarm. Yeah, this is going to be a problem. Well, nothing's a problem right now. So why is that a problem at that point? I don't think it will be a problem. They're not going to cut, but they're also going to raise taxes individually, on corporate, and through payrolls. You're going to see taxes go up. And the tax breaks that were given to us about 4 years ago were temporary. They're going up in 6 years, if not sooner. Why in 6 years? Because it was a 10-year tax reduction. It wasn't permanent. The corporate was permanent, and that where it very much can change if you have a House, Senate, and President all agree to raise it, then it's going to happen. So that very well is going to happen. So if you want to start thinking about what do you do to position yourself to minimize those taxes, I've got a download for you. GregoryRicks.com/too much. Remember, it's GregoryRicks.com/too much, T-O-O much. And let's get a conversation started with that. If you want to call into the show, let's talk about that as well.
Other
did
news.
You have another news?
Yeah, one more. And I've just
because I have a news item too that might surprise you.
You've got 8 stacks of news items over there.
Nah, it's on my computer screen.
Okay. So I've been using this as sort of a bellwether, you know, like the weather vane on top of the bar and see which way the wind's blowing. Disney, their cruise line division, has extended their suspensions over the coronavirus issues. They just backed it up another 3 months. They canceled all sailings through March, including planned voyages of the Disney Magic, Disney Wonder, Disney Dream, Disney Fantasy. They have wonderful names for these boats, but they're all just going to be bobbing around in a port for 3 more months. And they've also started to cancel a couple of longer cruises that were scheduled for June and July. So the cruise business doesn't think we're necessarily going to be out of this, at least until summer. But that sounds about right.
But they're canceling some summer stuff.
Yeah, the ones that are 7 days long, they've already canceled 2 of those, 1 in June and 1 in July. Yeah.
Yeah, and I felt summer was the time for cruises maybe to start going again. And I could see where they would run shorter cruises because if there's a problem, it's a short cruise. But having people locked in the same facility, we'll call it a facility, that boat.
Good name for it.
For 7 days... And you can't exit because you're sick or other people are sick. It's kind of problematic. But I think, you know, we get more of the vaccine going around. And, hey, maybe it's the vaccine cruises. If you've had the vaccine, you can get on the boat. But might be more along those lines.
Yeah, that makes sense. You get your little card from the doctor. Hey, got a doctor's note here. I've had my shots. Same thing you got to do when you go to countries.
There was something I was seeing a notice of on air travel overseas where, you know, that's going to be part of that and having a rapid test before you get on the plane. So they're doing more of that to get things going. Taxes are going up. That's what they say. Do you think it's a myth? Anybody think it's a myth? Call me right now, 504-260-0995. I do think it's coming. I don't think that is a myth, but what you can do is start planning for the future. And that is going to create, you know, if you're paying more in taxes because you have to take more RMDs and causing your more income causes you to move into other tax bracket that shifts you over, you could actually net less money. So think about that. Go to GregoryRicks.com/too much and download that form and let's get a conversation started. You remember the chicken wars?
The chicken sandwich wars. Yeah.
Yes.
Did it ever really stop? We didn't declare a winner, did we?
No, but we had talked about Popeye's having a pretty good one. Well, KFC is finally upgrading its chicken sandwich.
How do you upgrade a chicken sandwich? I love these marketing terms. Isn't this hilarious?
Well, theirs just wasn't good enough, but it's better now. So Colonel Sanders entering this year, 2021, ready to get into the rumble of the never-ending chicken sandwich wars.
I got some audio of the chicken sandwich wars.
It's a big thing because, you know, you've had all the major players, but, you know, or Popeyes, that is a chicken store, right? There's no doubt about what they do.
Very chicken centric. Yes.
Are not confused by that. KFC. What are they in the business of? Chicken.
They got chicken in the title.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. So what they find themselves doing is playing catch up to other chains over the past few years in the chicken sandwich wars. And the feature is the KFC chicken sandwich features an extra crispy filet placed on a buttered brioche bun, and topped with pickles and a spicy or classic mayonnaise. Gosh, that sounds like somebody else's sandwich.
Sounds like everybody's kind of.
Getting to the brioche bun.
Oh, who does
pickles, mayo, regular, classic, or spicy? That's Popeyes.
Okay.
Same thing. They come up with brioche bun, a crispy chicken sandwich, and they have the pickles and they have the mayo. The new sandwich is available this past Thursday in 9 U.S. cities: Chicago, Kansas City, Louisville, Portland, St. Louis, Sacramento, San Francisco, Seattle, and Tulsa. Everybody else, well, they're going to be rolling it out across the country to KFC's 4,000 restaurants over the next couple months, and you could check their website for your arrival date. In our area, I'm not surprised we weren't on the list. This is kind of
disappointing, really.
Stomping grounds mm-hmm. here. But I wanted to show, and their sandwich costs $3.99 a la carte or $6.99 for a combo meal with fries and medium drink. So it just got my attention that the description sure looked like somebody else's. And once again, this is the KFC chicken sandwich. So if you go to one of their stores that aren't up to date on the rollout and you see the current sandwich, the crispy kernel, that's not the new deal. That's the crispy kernel is the old deal.
With the lame bun, not the brioche bun, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I just went and checked on it because I was thinking, where's Church's Chicken in all this? But they had made an announcement in October, and that's what, 3 months ago? Didn't get nearly as much fanfare, but you might notice their recipe, all white meat, chicken breast filet, hand breaded with Church's proprietary seasoning, topped with pickles and mayo, served with a toasted brioche bun. So I think they're kind of singing from the same sheet of music, but that's because it's a really good song. So that sounds just like Popeyes as well.
Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's an affordable comfort food. And I can agree with that. I look at it kind of as a comfort food, something simple. And, you know, it should be okay. And maybe some places are a little bit better than others. But it's been pretty popular sandwich at Popeyes. Sales at Popeyes restaurants open at least 17 months, soared 17.4% globally in the third quarter of 2020 compared with same period last year, thanks to the sandwich Popeyes, which is owned by Restaurant Brands International. Also, by the way, controls Burger King and Tim Hortons. Popeyes was the company's only brand to report a sales increase during the quarter ending September 30th. I thought that was interesting. Of the three, Popeyes was the only one to report increase. And yeah, I think I know why. That sandwich. McDonald's is also rolling out three new chicken sandwiches next month. The crispy chicken sandwich topped with pickles, served on a potato roll.
Whoa. Potato roll, not a brioche bun?
No. They went a different route.
They're going saucy on us.
Then they have a spicy chicken sandwich, which adds a spicy pepper sauce, and the deluxe chicken sandwich, which comes with lettuce, tomato, and mayo.
Has McDonald's ever done anything that's actually deserving of the adjective spicy, though? I'm pretty skeptical.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's a little bit more. Wendy's did theirs last year. And, of course, Chick-fil-A, they just keep doing the same thing over and over with the long lines wrapping around their restaurants. So, ultimately, I think in the chicken wars, everybody's still chasing them.
Why aren't they going with dark meat? Why is everyone bragging about all white meat, chicken breast? Because you pointed out that when you talk to chefs, people who do this for a living, and when you did some research and some studying into this, it was almost a consensus that you need to start with dark meat.
Well, it's more flavorful, but it's not easy to cook and do volume with that, where the breast is. And of course, what is in demand for this item is small chickens. And that's one of the things that, remember when Popeyes rolled theirs out for their test, they sold out. And then it was months later before they could get it going because they had to line up all the
small
sources to get small chickens and the brioche buns and the spicy mayo. So it was a chore. So I thought you'd find that interesting as well.
I'm really blown away. It took McDonald's 2 years to get into this. I mean, they usually have Happy Meal toys for movies before the movies even come out. They seem to be on top of all kinds of trends, and they're really slow to the game on this. So that's where I'm shocked. What else you got over there?
Oh, I've got a bunch more. When we come back from the break, which I'm not going to get into this until we get back, but we're going to talk about next what happens with Social Security payments when someone dies. And did you know there's actually a form for notification, you know, where we've talked about it in the past? I've actually got the form as well.
Yeah, there's
notification.
There's no way I'd be aware of that form if I didn't do this show, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
All right, can you give me just 2 quick minutes here? I'd feel weird if we didn't talk about it for 2 minutes. The vote in the House today on impeachment, any overlap with the financial world the guy listening needs to be aware of? I can't really find one.
I've not seen it. Look, that is a lot of noise making, and that's somebody that's got the power to punish somebody else or kind of make a statement, and they're doing so. I don't think this is any constitutional crisis, and government is moving forward. Biden will be sworn in next week. It is. So for all purposes, this thing is done and moving on and getting about the country's business is what hopefully we get to the focus on, and we get this country vaccinated on those that should get it. I'm not saying, and I don't think you're going to see, nor should you see 100% of the humans get it. With that said, I think there should be a lot of people get it. I will get it myself. I don't have a problem with it. And we get about opening this country back up, the restaurants, the businesses, and so forth. And I was talking with the owner at Bistro Byron's a little while ago over in Mandeville. Stopped by there when I left my North Shore office, checking on it today.
Food.
Great food. And that's one thing he was mentioned worried about. You know, he's worried that they were going to put them at phase one. And I was like, yeah, like restaurants calls COVID. I dine out multiple times a week. I'm aware of social distancing. I don't go in crowded places. I wear my mask like I'm supposed to. But you know what I say? You gotta eat. So go enjoy some good food.
Paul in Illinois, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. First off, how on earth are you listening to us in Illinois?
Well, I got you on iHeartRadio and listening to y'all. I'm from Louisiana originally.
And you just took us with you when you went up north. That's great. I love hearing that.
Oh, I listen to constant stations all through the day. But my question, y'all was about to jump on Social Security, and I'll hang up and listen to the answer. My mama passed away on September the 9th of 2020, and my brother was in charge of everything that needed to be done. My question is, was he supposed to send in a death certificate, or is that done automatically, Social Security? How'd that work? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna cover that in the information we're going to discuss here.
Thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate you listening to the show and calling in. So one of the things, and you always wonder about that, and kind of say, well, it's a normal process. They kind of find out. But sometimes that does not always work. See, in most cases, funeral homes notify the government that a person has passed away. And if the person was receiving Social Security benefits, a payment is not due for the month of their death. There's kind of key points on the subject here. And survivor benefits may be available depending on several factors. So when a loved one receiving Social Security benefits pass away, you may wonder how the government knows to stop sending that money every month. Or maybe there's a surviving spouse or dependent who relied on that income and wonders whether there's some sort of payment that can continue. So, you know, Social Security is pretty complicated, but the bottom line is that decedent's benefits stop at death. For survivors, how to get benefits or whether you qualify depends on a number of factors. First, it's important for Social Security Administration to be alerted as soon as a person dies. In most cases, majority of the cases, it's the funeral home who notifies the government. They have a form that's available to use to report that. We've talked about that in the past. But let's talk about that form here for a moment. And that form is
a clever number, huh?
Yeah, well, it's titled Statement of Death by Funeral Director. So there you go there. And let me see. I'm going to scroll to the bottom of one of the pages. Social Security form, it's SSA 721 is the form number, and this is for essentially statement of death by a funeral director.
Old 721, huh?
Yeah. Now, if you are helping somebody, living with somebody, and they die, and they're getting Social Security, but checks keep coming, you might want to contact Social Security about that, because then there's a gap, because that money's going to have to go back. The person serving as executor of the state or the surviving spouse can also call Social Security and let them know that the person has passed. There's a couple things to keep in mind. For starters, a person is due no Social Security benefits for the month of their death. Any benefit that's paid after the month of the person's death needs to be returned. With Social Security, each payment received represents the previous month's benefits. So remember, the month in which they die, they do not get benefits for that month. It was the previous month. So if checks are falling after that, you know, they're going to want it back. And maybe the bank, if checks keep coming, the bank should be notified that they've passed.
Do you get a prorated check? Like if you live
there's
half
no. There's no prorated month. You have to live the entire month to be due the benefit. Simple as that. So if a person dies in January, the check for that month, which would be paid in February, would need to be returned. So if payment was made by direct deposit, the bank holding the account should be notified so they can return the benefit sent after the person's death. And it may be no surprise that using someone else's benefits after they die is a federal crime. We've talked about news stories. We've been doing this show for over 10 years. So we've talked about some stories in the past where people have gotten themselves in some trouble by not, the checks just keep coming. So they make use of the funds. So regardless of whether the death was reported or not, if Social Security Administration receives notice that a fraud might be happening, the allegation is reviewed and potentially will warrant a criminal investigation. So just they don't take that lightly. They will catch up with you at some point. I'm pretty certain of that. As for benefits available to survivors, if a spouse or qualifying dependent already was receiving money based on the deceased record, the benefit will auto-convert to survivor's benefits when the government gets notice of the death. For all other cases, surviving spouse will need to call Social Security and schedule an appointment to apply for survivor's benefits. You can't do this online. If the widow or widower has reached their own full retirement age, they can get their deceased spouse's full benefit. They can apply for reduced benefits as early as age 60. And in contrast to the standard earliest claiming age of age 62, if you're disabled, as early as age 50. If the survivor qualifies for Social Security on their own record, they can switch to their own benefit anytime between ages 62 and 70 if their own payment would be more. So you, and that's one thing to understand, you could start the survivor benefit. If you're taking it earlier than your full retirement age, it's going to be reduced. But get this, if your benefit you switch to later will be more, you do not get a reduced benefit. You get 100% of your own work record when you do turn that on. So you could turn on the survivor benefits early. It's going to be reduced because you say you turned it on before FRA. But when you reach FRA or up to age 70 and want to switch to your benefit, you're getting 100% of your own record. An ex-spouse of the decedent also might be able to claim benefits so long as they meet some qualifications, like being married for 10 years is kind of the thing there on that. And minor children of the person who died, benefits may be available also, and as well as a surviving spouse who is caring for the children. And one final payments available upon the death of Social Security recipient, survivors are generally given a lump sum payment of $255.
Oh, that went up. Wasn't it 250 not too long ago?
I hadn't looked to see.
Was it always 255? I was thinking 250 in my head, and I was surprised when you said it.
I don't know that it's changed much over time.
It's a petty amount, though. 255?
It's very small amount. Very small amount. But it gives us some clarity on what I covered with you tonight on how this process happens. There are options as well. And once again, if somebody's passed and checks keep coming, you need to make sure those are returned. And I'll tell you this, that you said, well, what if I don't need to return them? I'll tell you my personal story. When my mom passed, my sister, which was helping her, made sure the money was returned to Social Security. I have, you know, of course, my mom had three children, my two sisters and I, and guess what Social Security did? They went through, they did their thing with the math, and they sent each of us a check, because that last check that my sister returned was due her, and we were split the $255 as well. So they did make it right, and I was good with that.
Sam and Gretna, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Sam?
Hey, Mr. Ricks. James, it's not a Social Security question per se, or even an investment question, except for the fact I'm trying to invest in my checking account. The $600 mystery, I tried to check my status online. I put in all my information with the KGB.com, and my information doesn't match up. My name, my Social Security, and my address and my phone number doesn't match up. Now, I'm listening to another station, other people calling in. A lot of people can't log on, so that's a dead-end street. I've tried to call Senator Kennedy's office, Senator Cassidy's office, Mr. Scalise's office, Cedric Richmond's office. The only one that picked up the phone was Garrett Graves' office. Everybody else seems to be in hiding, which they should be. Now, we can't find out anything concerning this. I'm direct deposit. My account didn't go through my tax preparer. I had a lady prepare my taxes, but on the form, I had my routing number and account number, and I got my tax refund last year. Now, they have this supposed deadline of the 15th of January, which is laughable. I'm glad I don't go to the racetrack or the casino, because January 15th is going to come and go. What I enjoy about your program, you explain things to where the layperson can understand the investment stuff. Like, three or four different people explained me the ETF concept, and it just bounced off the center of my forehead. And finally, you were able to explain it to me to where my brain could soak it in. So it's more common sense than specific information listening to the show week to week. Do you have any clues on this? Now, I've known two people that have gotten this, my brother in Houston and my wife up in Missouri. So it's the only two people in my small circle that I know that have gotten it. And nobody knows anything. And I finally got in touch with someone. I called Mr. Scalise's office, the Metairie number, but it forwards to somebody in D.C. And the young lady I talked to, now this is a good one, I'm not making this up. She says, well, you have to get in touch with your state representative. I said, no, ma'am, it's the gatekeeper's the IRS. It's not local or state. And she says, well, they would have to check into it for you, and the state would have to allocate the $600. I'm thinking, this girl works in a congressman's office. And even if you don't follow the news, everyone knows that the gatekeeper is the IRS, even if you're not a news junkie as myself. Do you have any clues?
Well, when we were on the break, we saw your topic and wondered what the question might be, and it's probably, where is that check? And I do know people that have received that stimulus check, and I was kind of surprised at how fast it hit their accounts. And these were people that had done 2019 tax returns, had refunds that were directly sent to their account, and they received the stimulus checks. And I asked James if his children had received their checks, and he said he wasn't aware of that. He's not received one. I won't be getting one, I don't think. So I'm not expecting
to receive
one.
Yeah, you're probably over the income
seal. But from a standpoint, does our link still work on checking that, James, on our website?
Yeah. GregoryRicks.com/coronavirus. But I can tell you right here what the income limits are. If you're an individual, you got to have an AGI, adjusted gross income, of less than $87,000. If you're a head of household, it's $124,500. If you're a couple filing,
I'm nowhere near that.
Yeah, if you're a couple filing jointly, $174,000. Children under 17 years old get $600 apiece. They still have that strange gap for dependents above that age. About 13.5 million adult dependents are not going to get that check. Prisoners will get the check. That. So if you get incarcerated in the next couple days, you're still going to get your check. Okay, Sam?
Oh, gee. Well, that might be an option.
Yeah, so on our website, where, you know, Gregory Rick slash what is it?
Coronavirus.
It, and you go click on the IRS page, you got to follow a couple links to get there, but it's irs.gov/coronavirus/economic impact payments, and there's a place there to check your payment status. Look, when we were going through this last year, this wasn't seamless or necessarily timely, but I think this actually has moved faster than the one before. And I have a strong feeling that there's going to even be another round coming. I think that's likely. I'm not telling you it's absolutely going to happen, but I think more is coming.
I'm counting on it.
ultimately, it gets solved through your tax return if you were due it and it never appeared in your account or in the mail. And then if it was sent, they follow up with a notification that you were sent some money. So hopefully that helps, but we have resources at our website.
All right, Sam?
Well, I went to the IRS link. Like I said, when I logged in my information, I made sure there was no typos. It said my information doesn't match. I run across other people with the same problem.
Yeah, we saw quite a bit of that last year, and sometimes there's reason, and sometimes there's not a reason behind it.
Again, think about who you're dealing with, the IRS and Congress. So there you go.
That's right. Yeah. Love it, Sam.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for hanging out today. You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. If you need a financial advisor, go to GregoryRicks.com or call 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Wealth Management LLC. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for informational purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, legal advice, or tax advice. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Information and opinions contained herein are provided by third parties and have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any governmental agency. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Get News Talk 99.5 WRNO FM New Orleans anywhere on our free iHeartRadio app.